need to add a few people to our prayer list this week. We need to remember Don's cousin, Fran. She had surgery and is at home recovering now. Also, we need to remember Judy's cousin, Cindy. She had heart surgery recently to repair a hole in the heart. And both Don and Judy are going to be traveling to Detroit and will be gone a couple of weeks, won't get back till June 8th. And they request prayers to remember Rod. So we need to add that to our prayers this week as we go to God in prayer. We need to remember their requests. Good evening, if you would. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Philemon. Right after Titus. Right before Hebrews, I think. If I remember the song correctly. We're going to look at the book, or not the book, but the letter to Philemon today. Last week, we finished up looking at the book of Titus. Titus was a personal letter. A lot of Paul's writings were to congregations. They were two groups of Christians that assembled together and worshiped. And the letter to Titus was a personal letter. Had a lot to do with doctrine, had a lot to do with God's word and so forth, but it was a letter from Paul to an individual. This is very similar. This is a letter to a man named Philemon. Philemon lived in Colossae. He was a rather well-to-do man. The church met in his home. And this letter, it was written by Paul in the early 60s, between probably 62, 63 AD. Paul was under arrest in Rome. And this letter would be sent from Paul to Philemon, and it was carried by Tychicus and a man named Onesimus. And they would also deliver the letter of Colossians to the congregation. But so the setting is, when these letters are delivered, they're bringing it a letter to the congregation. And at the end of Colossians, we see that they are told, you share this letter with the church in Laodicea also, and you read the one that I wrote to the Laodiceans, and exchange those letters because it's mutual benefiting to both congregations. And after they've done that, I picture Tychicus and Onesimus giving the letter to Philemon also. This is also from Paul, by the way. Just a personal letter. So starting with verse 1, it says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia. It is generally considered Apphia was probably Philemon's wife. Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. The congregation met in Philemon's house. Archippus is generally considered the preacher, the minister of that congregation. History, and this is kind of a sad note, it's not in the scriptures, but history, you're getting a letter from the Apostle Paul praising you for your good works, making an acknowledgement of the congregation meeting in your home. You know, don't you, working on a sermon right now, be down the road, God knows. A lot of times we don't get credit. A lot of times a lot of our efforts go unnoticed, but never by God. Here Paul is bringing up this information, you know, that your work is not in vain. You are a godly man. I know the good works you do. And this is how he starts this letter out. You could probably, a psychologist would probably have a field day with Paul's writings. How Paul gets people to do things, how he corrects people. It could be a parental guide, his writings. It could be interpersonal relationship guides. It could be psychological, a psychologist could use these things that Paul uses. I think it would be interesting having a psychologist study Paul's writings on how he gets people to do things, not by force, but by praise, suggestion. And he goes on to say in verse 7, "For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother." That is a heck of an opening. That acknowledging and praising Philemon for his good works, for the efforts that he's making in the kingdom, and acknowledgement of the work that he does. Goes on to say, therefore, I've said all of this, therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, I love that. I'm an apostle. I could tell you what to do, but I'm not going to do that. Though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you. Being such a one as Paul, the aged, I'm just old, good old Paul, the aged. I'm the apostle Paul, whom you've known for a long time. I'm old, and now I'm appealing to you. I could have commanded you, mind you, but I'm appealing to you, brother, who is known for their good works. I'm appealing to you. In verse 10, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. This is a man, Onesimus, has become a Christian. I have met him, and he has been converted while I've been in chains here. Isn't it strange how the world works? You know Onesimus. I know Onesimus. I've converted him. Or rather, the word has converted him. I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. Verse 11, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. The situation was, Onesimus was a slave. He was the slave of Philemon. He had run away. He's made his way to Paul. And now, we see Paul is going to be sending Onesimus back into slavery. A very strong message here. And this letter is as much to Onesimus as it is to Philemon. And think of the message for both. just because we become a Christian does not negate our responsibilities and situations in life. Just because we become a Christian, if we're sitting in jail, well, I become a Christian, so I, you know, all my things, my sins are forgiven. I should be let out. Warden, send me home. I'm free. My sins are forgiven. We're still under obligation as a Christian, but we see how it plays together. We see the relationship Paul has had with Onesimus, the relationship Onesimus has had with Paul, and Paul to Philemon. So he tells him, Onesimus used to be your slave, but he was unprofitable to you. Obviously, he ran away. Verse 12, I am sending him back. Could you imagine being Onesimus? And you've escaped. You've gotten clear away. And Paul has convinced you to go back. Are you crazy, Paul? He will beat me. He will beat me within an inch of my life. He might have me killed. I'm sending you back. You're a Christian now. You have responsibilities, and your earthly responsibilities are not negated just because you're a Christian, Onesimus. You can be a Christian and be a slave. You can be a Christian and be rich. You can be a Christian and be poor. You can be a Christian and be a soldier in the Roman army. You can be a Christian and be of Caesar's household. You can be a Christian and be a fisherman, a tax collector, and on and on. I am sending him back, verse 12. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart, whom I wished to keep with me. Paul's saying, I would have liked to have kept him here. He wasn't useful to you. He's very useful to me now. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart, whom I wished to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. I would like to keep Onesimus here with me, but he is yours. In society's eyes, he's yours. If he stayed here with me, he would be so useful, and by being useful to me as your slave, it would be almost as you helping me. He goes on to say in verse 14, but without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. I am your friend. You're my beloved brother. I am an apostle. Good old Paul. I'm getting up there in age. I'm sitting here under arrest right now, by the way. Just want to throw that in, Philemon. I'm sending Philemon or Onesimus back to you. I would have loved to have kept him here. But I'm sending him back for you because I'm not going to command you. I want you to make the decision under... What a wonderful psychological study this is. I'm not going to tell you. I want it to be up to you. For verse 15, for perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Isn't it interesting? And I'm sure you have had relationships in your life, whether it be family, co-workers, neighbors, maybe even enemies, that you or they have now become a Christian, and that bond becomes stronger than any earthly ties. You can be a Christian and be a brother to your employer. You can be a brother or sister to your neighbor, to a policeman, to whoever. And this is a perfect example of this. He says, he's a beloved brother, and especially to me, but how much more to you? You've known him. He is now your brother. He's still your servant. He's still your slave. But he's your brother now. Verse 17. If then you count me as a partner, if I have any affection with you, if we have been close in any way, receive him as you would me. We don't know. Philemon might have been waiting, pacing up and down, waiting for Onesimus to be brought back to get a whooping. You ran away. You've cost me money, blah, 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 blah. Now you're going to get it. Paul is telling him, if you count me as anything with Christ, any partnership, you receive him as you would me. Any of those feelings that Philemon might have had has to be, you know, okay, I got to look at him differently now. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay. Then he goes on to say, not to mention that you owe me even your own self besides. I will pay whatever out-of-pocket expenses he's caused you. Put it on my account. I will repay you. Oh, by the way, not to mention, what all is it that you owe me? Well, we're not going to talk about that. Just whatever it is, you know, you owe me. Psychologists would have a field day with this. And verse 20, yes, brother. He's calling him brother. Let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. I'm sitting here under arrest. I'm sending Onesimus back to you. You receive him as you would receive me. If you're out anything because of him running away, I will repay that. And by the way, we're not going to talk about all that you owe me. We're not even going to mention that. Verse 21, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also, I love this, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. So I'm sending Onesimus back. I will repay you anything. And brother, by the way, I know that you will do the right thing. I'm confident. There's no pressure on Philemon now. None whatsoever. To disappoint the apostle and friend Paul, you know it will get to Philemon. And by the way, prepare a room for me because I'm going to come visit you. So you know, talk about Jewish guilt. There it is. And if you don't do the right, I mean, he's not saying this, but Philemon's thinking, if I don't do the right thing, if I take it out on Onesimus, and I don't do what Paul wants me to do, he will, one, he'll probably find out. Plus, he's going to come visit. And so, I love how Paul phrases this and gets him to do probably what he wants him to do. And he goes on to say in verse 23 in kind of a farewell or conclusion or wrap up. He says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you. As do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. There's some good news, bad news in that verse, in those two verses to me. A few years later, when Paul writes his last letter to Timothy, there are some people here that will still be in service, still working hard for Christ. But in the tail end of 2 Timothy, we see Demas has forsaken Paul and has abandoned him. The good news that people are still working, though, with him. Mark, who he had had some contention with Barnabas over, they've patched up anything between them, and Mark is working with him. Remember, in Acts, I think it was 15? Can't remember, Acts 15, I think? They parted ways. Barnabas and Mark, they parted from Paul and Titus. And they got in a big argument. They still worked for the kingdom. They just personally did not, Paul disagreed that Mark should come along. And they parted. That's been patched up. Mark is with him. And in 2 Timothy, he had sent Mark to do something, and he tells Timothy, get Mark and bring him with you because he's useful to me. So there's some positive and some negative there. It's sad that Demas is mentioned here, and later on he's going to forsake Paul, forsake the work. And then it ends up, in verse 25, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. A short, simple letter would have gotten it at the same time the congregation who meets in his house would have gotten their letter that would have probably been the source of a study on a Sunday. But this was a personal letter from Paul to Philemon. We do not know historically what exactly the situation was. What, you know, the Bible does not indicate how he received Onesimus. I would be confident, according to Paul, that he probably received him as a brother in Christ. Historically, it is generally accepted that Onesimus, Philemon, Apphia, and the preacher of that congregation, Archippus, were all killed at the same time being martyred. That's not in the Bible, but tradition and history leans that way. Great little letter. Hope you've been able to gather something out of it, something that applies to your life. We never like to leave without offering the invitation. I think everybody in here has been baptized. If you need prayers, if you need to repent of sin, as Paul would say, I'm not going to make you, but I would sure like you to repent of sin. What a wonderful psychological approach Paul had. We rejoice our brother Devin identified with us today that he would like to work with us here at South Valley. We welcome Devin, and we're going to get him to work. We rejoice in that. If you have anything, any other prayer requests like Judy offered up a while ago, please bring it forward. Let your needs be known. If you need public repentance of a public sin that has affected others, by all means, repent publicly. If you need to repent between you and God, between an action, a thought, an attitude, whatever it is, we'll take this opportunity while Don leads us in the invitation. Let us stand and sing.